This morning's passage is from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is God's word for us. You may be seated.
Thank you. Thank you, Floyd. This is Grace Dark Mode. We have switched the slides to make it easier for some folks to read. We were getting some glare issues, so hopefully with the dark background and the light text, you can all still read it. It's going to look like this. As soon as this wakes up, we'll advance the slide. Hold on just a second. There we go. We're going to be spending some time in Philippians this morning talking about peace because it is something that is talked about with the arrival of Jesus. I believe it was Steve up here just a minute ago talked about the angels appearing at Christ's birth and announcing peace on earth and goodwill toward men, right? Peace on earth and goodwill to those on whom his favor rests. So that is part of why we talk about peace at Advent. But as our readings show and as Steve and as Brooks all mentioned, we lack peace. We need peace. So we talk about peace at Advent because the announcement of Christ's birth talks about peace. We also talk about peace because it's an ongoing need. We continue to need peace. And just so that we're all on the same page, as we're talking about peace at Advent, we're not just talking about freedom from strife, which is part of peace. We're talking about the biblical concept or understanding of peace, which is wholeness and completeness. A word that the Jews would have used is shalom, and it's like holistic peace, peace in all areas. Peace where you can go to your neighbor, you can go to your brother, your spouse, and you know when you interact with them that even if you disagree, it's not going to end up in fighting, it's not going to end up in anger because you're complete, they're complete, you're together complete. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about peace this morning in Advent. And we're going to talk about the problem with peace, which many of you know is that we don't have it, right? That's the problem. That's coming. But then also, where is true peace found? Because if we're talking about completeness and wholeness, it's not just a matter of finding peace in an area. It's not just a matter of conquering an anxiety or a fear. There has to be something bigger and better. And then what does it mean to live out that peace? That's the question. Right? Because many of us have achieved peace in a variety of areas in our lives. We've figured out how to lose or to drop or to forget about fears or anxieties with regard to certain things. But in other areas, they remain. And we continue to be upset. We continue to be bothered. We continue to lack peace and completeness and wholeness. So we want to find out, what does the scripture tell us about how to live out the peace that is ours if we are in Christ? Would you pray with me and for me? Lord Jesus, please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your law this morning, in your word, in your testimony to us. As we study the words of your servant Paul and writing to the Philippians, make it clear to us how we have peace in you. And also, Lord, how do we maintain it? How do we keep it and hold on to it and live as though it's real and true? Lord, I pray that you would speak through me this morning. I pray that you would use this time to glorify your name. To bring all of these people, myself included, Lord, closer to you. Make us whole in you. Ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. The problem with peace is that we don't have it. And why do we not have it? Lots of reasons. Lots of reasons. We're anxious. We're troubled. We're sinning. We're focused on the physical. We forget spiritual reality. This is all true of all of us at some point. We're anxious in different ways. Some of you are really anxious about money. Some of you are not anxious about money to a fault. Maybe you should be a little more anxious about money, right? Some of you are troubled by all manner of things. You're not really anxious per se. It's not like it carries forward, but you're just uneasy. Like you walk around with a bottle of Tums in your hand and you're just eating them like they're candy because it's not quite right with you. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Sometimes we're sinning and we are lacking peace and wholeness because we're choosing to do things we know we shouldn't do. Right? That's the definition of sin. In Scripture, we talk about how sin is missing the mark. It's not hitting God's standard. But Scripture is clearer for us and says, if you know that it's right and you don't do it, or you know that it's wrong and you do it, that's sin. And we persist in our sin. Right? Sometimes we know that we're not supposed to be in a relationship or a certain kind of relationship with somebody, and we persist in that relationship because we tell ourselves it's going to do more damage, it will be harder to break the relationship than it will be to stop sinning. Or we continue to drink, or we continue to eat, or we continue to do whatever it is that is our specific sin because we think it'll be harder to stop doing that thing than to stop. Like we don't know what to do, right? We think sinning might be better than peace. The same thing is true when we're focused on the physical. It might be your home, it might be your car, it might be your job. This is another way of getting to money for some people. But sometimes it's people. It's the physical person. You're so concerned about the physical health of the people around you that you forget that there is a spiritual reality. And maybe you don't think there's a spiritual reality. Maybe you're here today because somebody brought you here, or you wandered in because nothing else was open this morning. I'm telling you that there is a spiritual reality. God is real. Jesus is alive. And so what does that mean for our problem with peace? The fact that we don't have it. All of these things are real. We are anxious. We are troubled. We are sinning. It's not like we just say that Jesus is real and these go away. So what does Jesus's reality, the truth of the spiritual reality, mean for all these things? What does Philippians say? Paul is talking to the Philippians. He helped to launch this church, and he knows now that they have trials and they have struggles because he knows them. He knows what their circumstances are. He understands what it means to be in trial and in struggle in their specific context because he was in their specific context. He helped them start their church. So he's walked alongside of them, and he knows now that they need to hear this word from the Lord. He tells them to rejoice, and I say it again, rejoice. And let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That sounds great, Paul. Don't be anxious about anything. Check. Got it. Done. Thank you. That was very helpful. That was not helpful, Paul. We need more. What do you mean? What do you mean don't be anxious? I can't just not be anxious. I can't just stop sinning. If I could just stop sinning, I would have stopped sinning. I can't just stop focusing on the physical needs around me. So what does Paul mean? He means that there is a spiritual reality here that we ought to be paying attention to, that Jesus is worth, number one, celebrating. Rejoice. And again, I tell you, rejoice. There's an attitude here. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You have to have a reason to be reasonable. Does that make sense? You cannot be reasonable about nothing. You can't be reasonable about something that is unreasonable. He's saying, pay attention. Jesus is alive. In fact, the Lord is at hand. God is near to you. That's what Emmanuel means. We talk about Emmanuel meaning God with us. And Paul is saying, remember that. God is with you. Therefore, your reason to rejoice is here. He's right here. So don't be anxious about anything because Jesus is at your side, or he could be if you ask him to be. See, what's implicit here, it's not stated. Paul is not saying this in these words, but what is understood because he's writing to the Philippians about the hope that they already have in Christ is that they don't have to be anxious. When he says don't be anxious, it is because he knows that they do not have to be. It's not the same as saying just stop. Right? That's impossible. We can't just stop. We can't just stop sinning. But we don't have to sin. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be afraid. He's saying you don't have to be because the Lord is at hand. He is right here. He's right by your side. So instead of choosing those things, because at some point we begin to choose them, right? At some point we are aware that we are sinning. We are aware that we're choosing anxiety, choosing sin, choosing fear. He says, stop doing that and choose the Lord. Go to him, talk to him by prayer and supplication. It's just another way of saying, ask, make requests with thanksgiving. Talk to God. He's right here. This is what Paul is saying. But we continue to be focused on what is right in front of us, on the physical. You guys know who this is? Credit to Dave Kirk, who came up with this, not with Linus. This is Linus from Peanuts Cartoons, but came up with this example. Linus literally carries a security blanket with him at all times, right? That's what his blanket is for. He is representative of thousands and thousands of children everywhere who have something similar, right? Whether it's a stuffed animal or it's a blanket or it's mom's old shirt or dad's old clothes or whatever it is, right? Like lots of kids do this. Some adults do this, right? You go over to your friend's house and they have this thing that used to be a child's toy and now it's like half destroyed. And it continues to be a security blanket of sorts. This is a perfect example. If you look at the Peanuts cartoons, Linus is never without his blanket, doesn't matter what they're doing. He always is holding on to that physical piece of security, forgetting, maybe, because, you know, it's Peanuts, it's a cartoon, we don't know exactly, but forgetting the spiritual reality. This is the image, this is the metaphor. We hang on to the physical things. We hang on to our sin, even our anxieties, because we feel like we can control that. We can wrap our hands around it. We can hold on to it. We have some measure of control over it if it's within our grasp. So we keep making the bad choice. We keep thinking the wrong way. And I have to ask you, what is yours? Think about it for a second. What are you choosing to hold on to that you know that you don't need to hold on to? It's a physical thing. It's a sin. It's an anxiety that you choose to hold on to, knowing that it's unreasonable. Knowing that if Jesus Christ is in fact yours, if he's standing at your side, as Scripture tells us he is, in our hearts even, it's unreasonable to hold on to this thing, but you choose to hold on to it. What is it? What are you afraid to let go of because you think it will be harder than holding on to Jesus? If you let go of that thing, that will be harder. Jesus is saying, here, I'm right here. Hold on to me. True peace is found in Jesus Christ, right? This is not surprising. We're in church this morning. If you're surprised by this, you need to find a different church. True peace is found in Jesus Christ. And I haven't said it explicitly yet because Paul hasn't said it, but let's just stop and say here why the Philippian church exists. Because Paul came to them and he shared the good news of the gospel with them. He said, listen, you are all dead in your sins and trespasses. But while you were still sinners, we heard it in our reading this morning, Christ died for you. And he rose again. He took up his life again. And now he stands at the right hand of the Father and he prays for you. And so that is the hope that we have in Christ. That is where peace and completeness and wholeness is found, in a spiritual and also physical God who advocates for us, who talks to God for us, who is standing near to us and is also at the right hand of God. See, this is what Advent is all about. The spiritual reality is that our physical needs are met by God who is spirit and took on flesh. That's what the Advent is announcing. This coming, this waiting that we've been doing in our hearts, but maybe in the sense that we haven't seen the fruit of it yet, right? It is met, it is answered by Jesus because he is both God, both spirit and man. And he walks with us and he does the things that he wants us to do and he shows us how to live. And he says, this is what completeness and wholeness and peace looks like. So the Lord is at hand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus because the Lord is at hand. And there's something in the middle there that we're going to get to in a second, but this is the reality. This is both the spiritual and physical reality, and this is what we are excited about at Advent. Candles reminding us each week that we are closer and closer to the appearing, right? Jesus being born as a baby, the incarnation, him taking on flesh and walking with us. This is how we're able to have peace. Because God is at hand, because he walks with us like us. So if you're choosing sin, if you're choosing anxiety, if you're choosing fear, know that you don't have to. Know that Jesus stands ready to save you. And if you are walking with him, there's some things that we need to talk about this morning. Linus does, in fact, let go of the blanket at least once. And this is from the Peanuts Christmas special when Linus gets up and he reads the Christmas story. And if you have seen the Christmas special, you know that he quotes straight out of Luke 2 and he just reads the Christmas story. And it's always a little bit surprising if you're watching it on TV and you're like, are they allowed to do that? I guess they are. He's doing it. And he sets his blanket down. In that moment, it is apparent that the Lord is at hand because he's speaking the story of the Lord Jesus. And he's able to set aside his security blanket. He's able to choose Christ. Right? In his joy at announcing the good news, he's able to choose Christ and set down the thing that he is afraid of. So what does it mean to live out this peace that is ours? What does this look like? Well, let's remember what this whole passage says. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious. And everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. It means we have to talk to God about the things that take away our peace, that deprive us of peace. We have to tell the Lord about it. We probably need to tell some other people about it too. We need to tell our spouse about it, our family, people that we trust, brothers and sisters in the Lord, because the body is designed to carry these burdens together. But we have to tell the Lord. If we're not telling God about these things, then we are not going to have peace because we're holding them back. It's like Jesus standing right next to us and us not sharing everything with him. Imagine how awkward that would get if you had somebody, not your spouse, okay, not your sibling, not your family member, but you had another person that was just by your side all the time. You woke up, you turned over in bed, and there they were. You got in the shower, and there they were. You got in the car, and there they were. At your office, wherever you go, this other person, and you refused to talk to them. How awkward would that get? Even more so, if every time you looked at them, they said, hey, you could have some peace. Would you like peace? And you're like, nope, I'm good. I would prefer to be anxious. I would prefer to sin. Prefer to be afraid. The Lord says, talk to me. Tell me. It's going to require surrender. Right? We don't talk to the Lord unless we're willing to give up those things that we are holding on to that are doing us no good. We freely give away the things that we feel good about, right? When we feel good about a talent, a gift, a skill that we have, it is so much easier to give it away. But when we don't feel good about the things that we have, that's when we hold on. Why do we do that? Because we're afraid. Because we don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is and does what he says he does. But if we are willing to surrender those things to him and share them with the Lord, he says, I will give you peace. Rejoice and praise God. Pray with thanksgiving. Remember and look toward the Lord. He is at hand. We need to remember that every single day and do whatever it takes to help you to remember that every single day. If it means you need to write it down somewhere and post it on your mirror in your bathroom or by your table in your kitchen, wherever it is, then do that. If it means you need an accountability partner, somebody to call you or text you or remind you the Lord is at hand, then do that. But do this daily. Get into the habit and the practice of doing this daily because you're already in the habit and practice of sinning, right? And being anxious, we're really good at that. We're already practiced in that. We don't need to practice that anymore. But if you want to stop doing those things, you will have to replace them with what is good and true and right and holy. So start replacing those anxieties and those fears and those worries with prayers of praise and rejoicing and thanksgiving and looking toward the Lord. Fill your day with those things. Isaiah puts it this way in chapter 26, 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God keeps us in that complete wholeness, that total peace, that shalom, when our mind is focused on him. It is a good way of us walking with Jesus intentionally, not ignoring him as he comes along for all the different things we do, but including him in all of the different things that we do. Keep your mind focused on him, and he will give you his perfect peace, that trust relationship. Proverbs puts it this way, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Same idea. Trust in the Lord, he'll give you perfect peace. If you're going to let go of your security blanket, it's going to come with some costs, but I encourage you to do that today, this week. If you don't follow Jesus, you won't have peace. So if you're in this room and you're not following Jesus, please come and talk to us about following Jesus. That's why we're here. We want to talk to you about that. If you've been coming to church forever and you don't know what it means to follow Jesus, come and talk to us about following Jesus. We want to help you do that. His death means we do not have to die to sin in the way that he did. We can just give it to him. And his resurrection means that we don't have to be separated from God eternally, but we can live with him. So if you're not following Jesus, follow Jesus. And if you are following him, then you're united with him. Scripture is very clear. We have everything that he has. It's there. It's ready for us to take. We just have to accept it. We just have to agree to it. He wants us to be free from fear and doubt and sin. He wants us to be. He's offering that to us. We just have to take it. So let go of sin, that which can't bring us peace, and walk in the peace that you have with Jesus. Let's look at the rest of this passage. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Before we get to verse 9, how much time do you spend thinking about things that are terrible? How much time do you spend listening to the news? Is another way of asking that question. When you get together with your friends, is your immediate point of conversation all of the things that God has done for you? Or do you immediately turn to, here's how my week has been terrible? When you're at work, is the office cooler conversation this? Or is it gossip? Is it people who are doing bad things in your conversation about how people do bad things? How do you fill your mind? How do you fill your time? Is it the case that whatever is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable is what's always on your mind and in your heart? If so, this will be a lot easier to walk with Jesus and recognize that he's near to you and believe that you have union with Christ. But if you're not doing these things, if you don't think this way, if your mind is filled with things that are harmful and destructive, it will be a lot harder to believe that Jesus is near to you. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. This is a hard challenge from Paul here. He's saying we ought to be, brothers and sisters, models to each other. Jesus lived in a specific way that he calls us to live in. And then if we're his disciples, if we're walking after him, then we ought to be able to say to other people around us, follow me like I follow Christ. And that's what Paul is doing here. So not only is he challenging us to think this way and to believe these things that are true, fill our mind with what is true and lovely and commendable, but also be ready to lead other people. Be ready to show your brothers and sisters what it looks like to follow me. You don't have to be Jesus, just be like Jesus and point them back to Jesus. Died. Could you advance the slide for me, Judy? That's the end? This is what happens when you're the fill-in. In my mind, there was another slide. Here's what's true. if we don't do these things, there are consequences. And if we do these things, there are consequences. If we're going to let our reasonableness be known, it will be about something that is right and good and true, that God is near us, that we're united with Christ, that we have peace. But we have other reasons, right? And sometimes they're not very good, and that will also be made known to people. So whether it is these things that are right and good and true, or it's the things that are not good, our anxieties, those things that we hang on to that are weighing us down, that security blanket, right? It's actually a weighted blanket, and it gets heavier every year that you hang on to it. And it drags you down further and further. So that will be made known to men as well. So understand that. It's not a neutral choice. It's not like you can just choose to kind of find peace on your own terms. Either you will find it in Christ or you won't find it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to focus on what is true and lovely? Are you going to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's saved you? Or are you going to continue to reject him, even though he's near? Even though he's at hand, are you going to continue to reject him? Would you pray with me? Lord, help us in this. It's so easy for me to say these words, and it is so hard to do these things because we are focused on the physical. We are focused on what is right in front of our eyes that causes us to be troubled and anxious. We're focused on our temptations, Lord, that lead us into sin. Keep us from sin and from temptation, and deliver us from evil. Keep us from anxiety, and deliver us from fear. Lord, you tell us over and over again not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You say it that clearly, and we're still afraid. So help us. Lord, help us to talk to you. Help us to keep our minds focused on you. And Lord, I pray that you would do as you have said you will do, that you would live with us and in us, and be united with us so that we have the strength for this, so that we might show others who you are and what you're doing. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. This is from Titus chapter 3. I said, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, or you want to follow Jesus, come and let us know. If you want prayer, come and let us know. We're always up here every Sunday after the service. We'd love to pray with you. This is from Titus 3, starting in verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. And you could add to that, anxious and fearful. Verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go in grace.